All right, back talking a little football. Big 12, Baylor college football on One True Podcast alongside John Werner and Tony Adame. I'm Bryce Cherry. Guys, you know when you're driving down the road, if you look away for any long juncture of time, it can be fatal. I mean, it can be really bad. So far, Baylor has handled the distractions that have come its way. Did you like that lead in, by the way?
Well, I think it's pretty fitting with you with your driving record.
Oh, come on, man. Just speeding tickets. I'm not, like, crashing into people.
Don't text and drive.
Don't text and drive. Yeah. That's our public service announcement for today. Baylor's handled the distractions it's faced without really any issue so far. But, of course, the level of competition hasn't exactly been overwhelming. Do you expect these distractions to keep coming? And how do you think the Bears will handle them now that they're playing some tougher teams?
Well, I actually think the player off-the-field distractions will die down. It's not that unusual, even with teams that didn't have Baylor's summer,
right,
to have a few at the start of the year. Now, I think it's going to die down for about a month, maybe a month and a half, and then we'll start hearing coaching rumors. Mm. And I think we're going to get more distractions, you know, from that avenue.
Yeah.
So I don't think the distractions are gone for good, but maybe for a short while.
I think you are testing fate, my friend.
Yeah, I see that question, and I think, you know, you have to answer, has to be yes, because you know, about a month ago, you think, okay, nothing else can happen. Nothing else, you know, this is a time where they can. Obviously, the coaching rumors are going to start up here in a couple months, but you think it won't be anything else. There's nothing else that can come out. There's something else they can do. But continuously, there are things.
Right.
And it keeps happening. And at this point, you have to just, you know, kind of, I guess the best preparation for them would be to prepare for the worst.
You know, the shadow of Art Briles just seems to hover over this program. And each week so far of the season, three games in, you've had some kind of Art Briles-related distraction. I mean, you've had... So, obviously, Baylor can't really control that. But the first week, this was fairly minor, but you had just the little story about how Kendall had CAB on his wrist or whatever, which, whatever, that's fine. Then the second week, you had a game day interview with Briles that sort of... We questioned whether that maybe took some of the focus away from the team. And then, of course, last week you have Art in the stands. You have Sean Oakman in the stands and then eventually in the locker room. And now you have to answer questions about that. I don't see this really slowing down that much, honestly. I kind of disagree with you, John. I think there'll be something that pops up. We just don't always know what it's going to be. And so far, the team has handled it well. And I think last year there were a lot of distractions, and the team handled it well. What they didn't handle well were catastrophic injuries. Mm-hmm. When the injuries started piling up, that was what had more effect on the season than perhaps some of the distractions. Yeah. So far, Baylor relatively healthy as it goes into Big 12 play. Oklahoma State comes in at 2-1 after wins over Southeastern Louisiana and Pitt, sandwiched around a loss to Central Michigan. Cowboys boast one of the most potent passing attacks in the conference behind quarterback Mason Rudolph and a big threat receiver James Washington. But once again, this was the case last year, they were struggling to run the ball effectively. Should Baylor be wary of this sort of one-dimensional offense?
I think they should.
Yeah.
Because they haven't faced anybody with nearly this level of talent.
Right.
Even if they don't really have a running game. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that Rudolph to Washington combination is pretty darn lethal.
Yeah.
And, you know, those Baylor defensive backs just haven't seen a guy like Washington this year. Anything close, really.
Right.
And, I think Baylor's going to win, but I picked it 42-38.
Kind of a shootout game.
I think it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah, you know, if you've watched the Big 12 and especially watched Baylor games over the course of the last 4 or 5 years, you know they're prepared to handle shootouts like this. They have players that, you know, can get in those type of games and win them. And like you make such a good point about Oklahoma State, even now with Chris Carson out, and they don't really, you know, they were hurt in recruiting. They brought in Barry Sanders Jr. as a transfer. I think they maybe scared away a couple running backs from what I understand. And I think they are pretty one-dimensional, and Baylor really has had a strong showing by their defense so far this year too. So
yeah, and I think Baylor's defense so far to me has played better than the offense.
Oh, no question.
It's been lights out in a lot of cases, but we have sort of questioned all along, you know, whether that's a little bit of the level of competition they're playing. Obviously, like you said, John, this is, you know, easily the most talented offense they'll have faced thus far. I do like how Baylor matches up with OSU. They tend to historically play Oklahoma State a little bit better at home mm-hmm. than they have on the road.
Oh, yeah.
Last year was the big breakthrough in Stillwater. But I'm kind of with you guys. I like the Bears, but I think it's one of those games where it's going to come down, I think, to a few plays, and we'll see how it comes out.
Baylor's offense, is to me, I don't know what you guys think, just watching them, they seem a little more balanced this year than they have in the past. They have good depth at running back, and, you know, obviously Russell can run if he has to. You don't really want him to, but they seem like they have more of a balanced offense this year.
Well, that offense has always, I think the perception nationally is that offense is slinging around. It's a spread, Art Briles. It's always, to me, been predicated on the run. And they've sort of prided themselves on being pretty balanced. And we saw what they did in the bowl game. I mean, that was just insane, the rushing they had in the bowl game.
Where was the Wildcat?
Yeah, where is the Wildcat?
Where did you see that?
Well, they don't have Johnny Jefferson on the team anymore.
That's true.
He was their Wildcat guy. But, man, that was lethal for a while. And, yeah, I mean, their depth at running back is pretty incredible. I think it's better than it is at receiver.
I think it is, yeah. I agree.
I want to talk a little bit about West Virginia, who we kind of overlook sometimes. I don't think we've really talked about them much on the podcast thus far. Maybe because they're located halfway across the country. I don't know. But the Mountaineers are 2-0. They're the only other team in the Big 12 right now, besides Baylor, that is still undefeated. And they'll get a chance to kind of add a possible showcase win this week when they play BYU in Landover, Maryland. Could be a future conference game. Who knows? I mean, we'll see. Dana Holgorsen's team really hasn't competed for a Big 12 championship, not throughout the length of the season, since joining the Big 12. Could this be the bunch that does it?
I don't think so.
Really? You're not high on West Virginia.
No, and I think the deal is they're so far away. They play really well at home because the other teams have to travel. But on the other hand, they have to travel to the other teams. And I think those trips are kind of wearing on both parties. So I just don't think I'm not going to say they'll never be a very good road team in the Big 12. But they haven't really proved that so far. So I think that trend's going to continue.
Yeah, you know, I think they can win. They can beat BYU, but then you look at their next four games. They go K-State, Tech, TCU, Oklahoma State. That's a stretch where they're, you know, lucky to go 2-2, I think. So, no, not this year. And you make such a good point about the travel. And I mean, I would even make the argument that the teams that are in this area, when they go out there, it's kind of, you know, it's that one crazy long trip for the year, and they get themselves psyched up for it. But, yeah, West Virginia, that's got to wear on them after a little while. Yeah.
I may be way off, but I'm going to be the contrarian and disagree with both of you guys. I'm not putting it out of the realm of possibility. And maybe you guys aren't putting it out of the realm of possibility. But I'm saying I think West Virginia may be better than we realize. I also, looking at their schedule, I like the fact that they don't have back-to-back road games in the Big 12 this year. They're always either road, home, you know, back and forth. And many of the better teams in the Big 12 that they face, they play at home. Oklahoma, I assume we still think Oklahoma's good. They play Baylor in Morgantown. We remember the last time we were in Morgantown, that didn't work out so well for Baylor. And TCU, they also get in Morgantown. They got to go to Texas, and they've got to go to Oklahoma State, but I don't think that those games are out of the realm of possibility. I don't see them going, you know, 12-0, but could they be in that mix at the end? I like their defense, and I like their offensive line. I like Skylar Howard. You know, maybe, yeah. I could see them this being the breakthrough year.
So. I think they'll have a good year. I just don't think they'll win the title.
We'll see. And I maybe, like I said, if I'm way off, we're just going to forget this podcast ever happened. So through this non-conference portion of the schedule, obviously we still have some non-conference games to play. Who's been the most disappointing team in the Big 12, and who's been the most surprising?
Well, I got to say Oklahoma's been the most disappointing. I mean, you know, if they'd gone 2-1, I'd say, okay, they're at least okay right now. 1-2?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not good for a, what were they, ranked number 4?
Right.
I think, coming in. And, gosh, last week against Ohio State, I thought that was incredibly disappointing.
Yeah.
They just did not play well. Really, I thought the score could have been worse. It was 45-24. I thought it could have been worse.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But, yeah, as far as surprising, I still have to say Texas, even with last week. But a lot of that is because I don't think anybody else has been that surprising either.
Right,
you know, considering the Big 12's performance so far. But, yeah, I'd go with Texas there.
Yeah, OU hands down is the most disappointing. I'm going to be the contrarian on this one and disagree with John. And to me, Texas is very disappointing because you have such a big opportunity out at Cal to, you know, be off to a 3-0 start and really create a lot of momentum, and your defense just is awful. I mean, they play so bad to the point where they're talking about firing the defensive coordinator over there. So that to me was a really disappointing loss, and kind of shows that maybe they're not up to that level where people were after a couple weeks hoping they were at. Most surprising team to me, Baylor to me, it's not surprising that they won. I just watching them, their focus throughout these games, because these games haven't been close. You know, they're close at first and they pull away. And I think, you know, if you watch, you know, a lot of college football, I've followed a lot of scandals, you've seen teams that just fall flat right away. And they're ripe for a disappointment right away, and we'll see how it goes in Big 12. But their focus has been impressive to me throughout a pretty, you know, tough stretch.
I like y'all's lists. I think I would probably lean towards Oklahoma and Texas. I still think the Texas win over Notre Dame, none of us really saw that coming. So that still stands out as kind of a surprise. I do think that disappointing right up there with OU a little bit has been TCU, specifically the defense. Mm-hmm. It's been surprising to me how just porous that unit has been when we've kind of grown accustomed to Gary Patterson's teams, you know, mostly shutting down the opposition. Obviously, in the Big 12, you're going to give up some yards. But coordinators tend to look at it more like bend, don't break, don't give up, you know, get stops, get that kind of thing. Don't give up a ton of points, but you know, you're going to give up yards in the Big 12. It's just going to happen. But that defense has not looked very impressive thus far.
No, it's been good bad. Point.
All right, guys. Well, last week we finished with a little game show. My favorite game show probably is $100,000 Pyramid. You guys ever watch that one? It's the one where okay, well it's back on ABC.
Oh, it is.
There's a little commercial for you, okay. It's one where you have to you team up with a partner and you got to give clues and the other person has to guess based on the clues, but you can't, like, if the thing were a basketball, you couldn't say this is a certain ball. You can't say a part of the word, okay? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So each of you will have 60 seconds, okay, to try to deliver 7, I'll tell you right now, college football-related clues to the other guy, all right? Your score will be based on how you do, you know, giving the clues, not receiving. If the other guy stinks at receiving, well, that's just too bad for you. But I have 2 categories. Like I said, you're going to have 60 seconds. We have Chris here to time you guys. I'm going to let Tony pick which category he gets to pick from. I've got Are We There Yet? Or If you ain't first, you're last.
If you ain't first, you're last.
All right, Tony. So you have 7 clues here to try to get through in 60 seconds. And you will, when I say go, you'll have 60 seconds. Obviously, don't say any part of the clue. But these are guys. Which one did you do?
If you ain't first, you're last.
Guys who finished second in the Heisman Trophy voting.
Holy cow.
Heisman Trophy voting.
John, you're a Heisman voter, right?
Who remembers
the runner-up?
You've heard of all of these guys,
We got this.
All right?
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
All right?
I just can't say the name of the guy, right?
You can't say the name of the guy, but you can give any other clues you want.
I get 60 seconds each clue?
No.
Oh, total.
Also, okay. I will say this right away. If you want to pass on one, say pass, and you can try to come back to it or whatever. So
this is for one guy. I got a name, right?
Yeah.
One guy, you got a name, and you have 60 seconds. Oh, I forgot to tell you, we're calling this so the other one is the $100,000 pyramid. This is the $1 triangle. If you win, I'll give you $1, okay? And if you both clear your 7 clues, we will go based on time. So, Chris, just pay attention to how fast
we got this. Here. You tell me when.
All right.
Go.
Tennessee, quarterback.
Peyton Manning.
Redskins, became a senator. Tennessee, late 80s, early 90s, before Peyton.
Tough one. Yeah.
There's a candy bar. His first name's like a candy bar.
Colin Ridgeway.
Nope. No.
Pass.
Houston, Texas. Led Texas to the national championship 05.
Oh, Vince Young.
Okay. Stanford Broncos, Super Bowls, GM now.
Elway.
Georgia, jumped over the pile, freshman phenomenon, led him to a national championship in 1980.
Herschel.
Yep. Oklahoma, barbecue.
Billy Sims.
Dad is the AD for West Virginia. Colts quarterback.
Andrew Luck.
Yep.
This you the got one to
go to.
This 5. Is you got 5 out of 7.
We got off to a really slow start.
Heath Shuler.
I put that on.
Yeah, and the last one we didn't get to was Manti Te'o.
Fake girlfriend.
Yeah, fake girlfriend.
I think I would have got that.
And you voted for Manti Te'o. You voted for Manti Te'o. Okay, so John, you by default get Are We There Yet?
Okay.
You will have 60 seconds to... give Tony these clues.
I can't look through them before you start.
Oh, you can't look through them?
Look through them before you start. Oh,
famous places or cities in college football. Famous places or cities in college football. All right?
Okay.
Ready? Go.
Aggies.
Oh, College Station.
Right. Little Apple.
Manhattan, Kansas.
No, that's not what that's on the card. What is that on the card?
Oh. named famous coach in the Little Apple.
Oh, Bill Snyder.
Okay.
And
Bill Snyder Family Stadium, Bill Snyder Avenue, Bill Snyder Highway.
You got it. He's got all of them. Got it.
Notre Dame.
South Bend, Indiana.
Notre Dame icon.
Pass.
Gosh. Pasadena.
Oh, the Rose Bowl.
Boy, I don't even know what this is. Texas Longhorns.
Oh, Darrell K. Royal Stadium, Austin, Texas.
Nickname for a campus.
Time.
You got 3. And I'm not sure that you completely knew. You could say as many words as you want, as long as you don't say. What's in the title, like,
yeah,
so if you, and you can also use gestures if you, so I would have said here with this one, I would have said at Notre Dame Stadium back in the background, you got this.
Okay,
say Notre Dame icon. I thought of like 20 players.
Yeah.
The funny thing about Bill Snyder Family Stadium is you can actually get on Bill Snyder Highway and pull onto Bill Snyder Avenue and then pull up to Bill Snyder Family Stadium.
Yeah.
It's a real thing in Manhattan, Kansas. That's,
okay. Bill Snyder is the man in Manhattan. Well, I'm not sure I'm taking either one of you guys on $100,000 pyramid, but Tony gets the big $1 payoff.
Yeah.
5-3. So maybe we'll have more game shows in the future.